Spirit Radio Podcasts.
It is Saturday Magazine with Jackie. Next week, there is an online event every evening at 7 p.m. It's called COVID Reflections, A Vaccine of Hope, where guest speakers will be giving different perspectives on their experiences of the pandemic and bring some hope and encouragement to us all. On the line now to tell us more all about it, I have Father Tom Fogarty. Father Tom, you're very welcome to the show this morning.
Thank you, Jackie. Good morning to you and to your listeners.
Yeah, I love the sound of this, Father. A vaccine of hope. I mean, that's what we all need at this moment, isn't it?
Oh, I think so. I think the last, I won't say 3 months, but I suppose 12 months now, have been very difficult on all of us, and it has impacted on all our lives. I suppose when it first arrived early March or in the end of February last year, we thought it might only last for a few weeks, but that wasn't to be the case, unfortunately. And as I said, it has a huge impact on, had a huge impact on people's lives, and people have struggled, and we are learning to cope with the help of others and the help of God as well, of course. And it has certainly had an effect on church as well, because for the most part churches have been closed, Jackie, as you know, for public worship apart from a few hours during the day, and that certainly has had an impact on a lot of people who like to go to church.
Yeah, of course it has. It's been really, really hard for so many of us, and I know, like, I'm all about, like, trying to find something positive, you know, so I think what you're doing is amazing. You know, you're making great use of technology to minister to your parishioners, and I believe you started that even before the lockdowns, is that right?
We did. Listeners might be interested in this, because it was by luck, really, I suppose. It was providential in many ways, because I happened to be on the First Friday calls, which most priests make every month, as you know. And an elderly lady mentioned to me that she still loved to be able to go to Mass, but wasn't able to, no fault of her own, due to the fact that her health had deteriorated. And I began to think about it afterwards, and I always felt that, you know, the church should be looking at ways of, if you like, bringing the church to people. So that evening I got on the internet just to see, is there anything out there? And I discovered church services, and then I spoke to a few priests who already had availed of their services, and I contacted them and did my homework. And we have a very active parish pastoral group here. We have a listening process going on in the diocese, which the Archbishop Kieran O'Reilly started a couple of years ago, and all parishes are involved in it. We have a very good group here. So we discussed it at length, and we decided, we should give it a go for a year and see how it works out. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, about 6 weeks later, COVID arrived unannounced.
Wow.
It's extraordinary, really. That is the true story behind it. And ever since then, it has been a huge blessing, because, I was just looking at the stats there for the end of the first year, and I think 284,000 people would have tuned in from the best part of 90 countries.
Amazing.
You know, because, as you know, people are very mobile nowadays.
Yeah.
And they're living in almost every part of the world. Irish people are, and we have a very big parish here, so you know, people are scattered all over the world.
Yeah.
So it's a great way of, for them to keep in touch, and also to be able to bring our ceremonies to the people. We were able to bring the Easter ceremonies last year, for example. The churches were closed at that stage, and other ceremonies as well, preparation for First Communion and Confirmation.
That's
and
brilliant. So many things. Well, what parish are you in, Father Tom?
I'm in the parish. It's called the parish of Mycarty, 2 miles and Littleton. It's only a few miles outside Thurles. Now, most people would have heard of a place called the Horse and Jockey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right at the middle of our parish.
Okay.
And it's one of the biggest rural parishes, I suppose, in the diocese, really.
Wow. Well, it's wonderful that you had this forward thinking and being able to bring so many things to the people during this time of lockdown into their homes. Now, you're starting next week with a series of talks every evening to bring hope and encouragement. How did that idea come about?
Well, I suppose you touched on it yourself, Jackie, there at the introduction. And you see, there's a lot of doom and gloom around now at the moment. And, you know, we're inundated with news headlines, and, you know, naturally, people when they turn on the radio in their car or whatever, they turn on the TV, we get constant updates about how bad the situation is, and that can lead to a lot of doom and gloom. And mm-hmm. we thought, well, look, at maybe we should be trying to accentuate the positive and look for the good and get people to think positively. Not everything is, the glass isn't always half empty, it's half full as well, and there's a lot of good things happening in life, yeah, and absolutely. We should maybe try to focus on that.
Yeah, and you have a great variety from all walks of life contributing. I'm just looking at the list here. I know a couple of the people on the
sure.
list, actually. Some good names here. Tell us about some of the highlights of what you'll be doing.
Well, I can tell you quickly, the first evening, Father Paddy Byrne from the Diocese of Kildare and Loughlin. Paddy has his own blog, and he's a very well-known priest, not only in the diocese but throughout the country. He writes columns for different newspapers, what have you, and the theme of his reflection is, where do we go from here? So that should be really worth hearing. Now, the second evening then, we have a young girl from our own parish who has been very actively involved in the life of the parish through the Pope John Paul II group and whatever, and she's just finished her leaving cert last year. She's now at university. She's studying applied psychology in UCC in Cork, and Alex Noonan, and she'll be talking to young people about coping with the pandemic, a student perspective.
Excellent for young
challenges.
People.
And I think that's very
important.
Because not only are young people finding that tough, Jackie, but I think have taken on the role as kind of teachers as well, so I think they should be very interested.
Absolutely.
In that. I've heard her talk, and it's absolutely excellent, and you know, it really is very good. And the third one, we have John on Wednesday. All the talks commence at 7 o'clock, by the way, and John Lovick, and John was the former governor of Mountjoy.
Mm-hmm. Great guy, great speaker.
Great speaker. I've come across John a lot in the past, and John has given talks to schools and in parishes or obstacles. Really, like he's always in demand. I don't know where he finds time. So John would have a lot to say on that as well. He's a very engaging speaker. And then the next speaker on Thursday probably needs little introduction. Hector O'Hagan. People would know him from his TV series and right hanging with Hector and all that stuff, you know.
Of course.
And he's very well known. And he's on Thursday evening, A Vaccine of Laughter. So it should be interesting to hear what he has to say. And then on next Friday, John Lahey, we call him Lahey down here, but I would have known John through my involvement with the GA in the past, and mm-hmm. he was a former Tipperary dual player, an outstanding hurler. John would have won, for example, three All-Irelands and several Munster titles and three All-Stars, so he's a really household name. He's retired now for a couple of years, but he'd still be well known. But John is a drug addict education officer with a HSE. Mm-hmm. And he'll be talking about managing addiction during the pandemic.
Excellent.
Because, as you know, Jackie, what we said already, it has been a difficult time for everybody.
Yes.
I would imagine it must be very difficult for people who are battling with addiction and whatever. So
absolutely.
John's input would be very, very good, because he's trained counsellor, so there's a lot to say on that. And bringing it to a fitting conclusion, we hope, please God, and I've no doubt.
I've no doubt either. Father John Harris
Father John
is an
Harris,
amazing speaker.
Know John Dominican.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely brilliant man. What makes us fully alive today? And I've heard the talk. It's absolutely superb. They all are. So really, that's it. And what we're trying to do is, we're trying to reach out to everybody, you know, mm-hmm. insofar as we can, and hopefully all the six speakers, you know, that they will be able to have a message for as many people as possible and lift all our spirits. And I think it's something worth looking forward to, because it's not going to be long. That's the good thing about it. Like, you know, it's not a long ceremony at all, but it's thought-provoking.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we need. And it sounds like, it really does sound like a great initiative, Father Tom, and we hope lots of people are encouraged through it. Tell us how people can tune in.
Now, if people go on to the Mycarkey Boroughs Parish website, You'll get the link on that, and that's the easiest way to do it. You know, just go on to my Kathy Burris Parish website, and I can give you the link if you wish. And it's www.churchservices.tv/littleton. Now, that can be difficult for everybody to remember straight away, but the easiest thing is if they go on to, I'll repeat again, my Kathy Burris Parish website.
Okay.
It's in County Tipperary, obviously, and they'll get the link straight, and they can link into it there from that.
Thank you so much, Father Tom, for coming on.
Thank you, Jackie, indeed, and please find people that will enjoy it.
Absolutely. Sounds absolutely amazing, and we'll do our best to get the word out about it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for speaking to me, Jackie.
You're
have
so
a nice day.
You
bless.
Too. God bless. That's Father Tom Fogarty, and we thank him so much for coming on today. So, there's a few ways you can get the feed. So you can go to it. I'm going to spell it out for you. It's MoyCarkeyBorris. Okay, so to me it looks like Moy Car Key Boris. All right, that's not how you say it, but that's how it looks. Moy Moy Car Car Key Carkey Boris Boris.ie /live-feed. You can go there and connect, or you can go to Facebook. They have a Facebook page as well, or you can go on Church Services TV, which is just a really easy way. And Littleton is the one to look for there. So it's COVID Reflections, A Vaccine of Hope. It's going to be happening February 1st through the 6th. Six talks, a series of online reflections every evening from 7 p.m. Guys, I really encourage you to find this, because I know some of the speakers here are amazing, and I'm sure they're all going to be great. So what a great way to spend these evenings. Get off of Netflix. Turn off that Netflix. Turn off that, what else is there, Prime and Apple and whatever you're watching, RTE, whatever you watch. Turn that off and have a look at some of this stuff. And let's turn the light on. Let's turn our face towards the Savior, and let's hear what these good people have to say about keeping hope during this time of difficulty.
Spirit.
I told you guys recently that we got a puppy just before Christmas, Bailey, and she's just the most absolutely gorgeous, adorable little thing, ball of fluff you could imagine. She has brought us so much joy, and you can imagine, though, on the same hand, it's been a lot of work, too, and all the advice, all the help that you get when it comes to training is so important to welcome these new family members. And who better to give that advice than Pete the Vet? I have him on the line now. Pete, you're very welcome to the show this morning.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. I know you are a busy man, but we really value all of your knowledge and the energy that you bring to the show. And it's really hard, isn't it, bringing a puppy into the home? It's a lot of challenges, fun and games too, but it is really tough. How give us the basics, Pete, on what we should be doing when we bring a new puppy into the house.
Well, I think probably the most important thing is to try to see the world from the puppy's perspective, because, you know, they're just like us, really. They're sentient creatures who feel the same emotions of fear, anxiety, lack of confidence, all of those things. Just because they're little dogs doesn't mean they don't feel these. And we know that from doing dynamic studies of dogs' brains, dynamic imaging studies, looking at the bits of their brain that are activated when they get stressed. So they're the same neurochemicals, the same, everything's the same for them. So we need to have empathy with that for them. So it's a hugely stressful time for them. If you can imagine a young child, maybe the age of your child you're just talking about, and they have to go to a new home.
Mm-hmm.
So they're taken away from them, their parent, their mother, and their siblings, and they go to this completely new place. And it's really quite frightening for them. So you need to respect that. And fortunately, puppies are very, very adaptable. So they cope really well with this. But what it means is that we, as new puppy owners, should be giving them plenty of space. And we should also be educating ourselves in the best way to do things. I think a lot of the time people go into these situations without really looking into it enough. And so it's really good basic stuff that people should know about.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is true. And there's a lot of advice out there at the, you know, there's YouTube, there's Facebook, there's all kinds of different platforms to go to. What would you suggest? I know you have your own, you have something of your own as well that people might be very interested to know about.
Yes, I set up a website just in the last 2 months has been launched, and it's called PetFix Club. PetFix Club. And the idea about that is that I recognize that while there's lots of information on the internet, there's lots of bad information and fake information as well as good information. And so I had people coming to me with the wrong idea, and they basically found out what not to do, and they believe it's the right thing to do. And so that means that they then end up making mistakes. So if people go to petfixclub.com, they can sign up, and it's the first month is free, so you can get a taste of it just by going there and having a look yourself. And we've got guides, lots of different guides. I mean, there's information about all sorts of pet care. But for this particular situation, we've got things like the top 10 tips for new puppies and what to do when a puppy arrives in your home. All the solid basic information
need to
understand. But I think to try to break it down to what's really important, first thing I'd say is when your pup first arrives, feed them on the same food they've been fed. Make sure they've got some of the scents from their original home. So maybe an old T-shirt or some bedding from the original, from the breeder, so that you have that for them. And create a little private bedroom for them. I really like a concept called a puppy crate, which is basically like a wire type cage that you put your dog's bed into and put some of their favorite toys in there and the bedding, and that becomes their little base. And they know they can go there where they want to chill out and have some peace.
Lovely.
So a puppy crate, it's a great idea, and it really helps you to house train puppies as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't like to go in their crate at all. So you can have them in their crate, then take them straight outside, and there's lots of prey when they go outside. So it's a really good way to help house train a puppy.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. And also keep the food the same as what they had as well, so they don't have to change there, at least for the first week until they settle in. So those two things are really, really important. I think the next thing that's important is you should go to your vet for a checkup. Now, your puppy may have had some of the vaccinations, but puppies nearly always do need to have a final batch of vaccines at around 12 weeks of age. So when you go to your vet for that vaccine, make sure you've got write down a list of all the things that are worrying you, and the vet will give the puppy a really good check over, and will also they'll be able to answer all of your specific questions, you know, the one-to-one stuff that particularly relate to your puppy. So that's the second thing. And I think the third thing that people really need to know that isn't well known is the importance of socialization of your puppy. See, what we know is that puppies have got quite flexible, adaptable brains. And so they're kind of geared to get used to new situations quite quickly, whereas older dogs aren't nearly as adaptable. So if you don't socialize a puppy properly, what you can end up with is a young adult dog that's frightened of lots of things. So they might be frightened of passing traffic. They might be scared of tall men. They might get anxious when they see a woman wearing a particular kind of hat because they've never seen somebody wearing a hat before. So to stop that sort of problem happening later, what you have to do is, first of all, breeders should make sure that puppies get loads and loads of good exposure to different daily things when they're very young, like between 2 weeks and 10 weeks of age. That's really important, and not all breeders do that. So it's really important that people get puppies from breeders who've done that. The second thing is that when you get the puppy yourself, you should continue that process of exposing them to all sorts of social situations in a gentle, calm way, so that they get used to them and then they're not frightened of them later. You have to balance that against making sure they're not exposed to any risk of viral infection. So do talk to your vet to make sure that the puppy's getting the right vaccine so that it is protected. But once you've done that, then socialization is one of the most important things you can do with puppies.
Really great advice there. Thanks, Pete. And, you know, I know a lot of people, well, I know for us, our probably biggest concern at the moment is house training. And it's going really well, but I think a lot of people think it happens really quickly. For us, it's taking a little longer. We happen to be patient with the puppy. So what would you offer as practical advice on how to train, how to house train the dog, and how long should you expect it to take?
Well, how old is your puppy?
She was born October 9th, so she's coming up, what is that, 3 or 4 months, 4 months now?
Okay. First thing I'd say is, like, almost every single puppy is fully house trained by 5 months of age.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of going to happen.
I can tell we're close. I can tell we're really close, yeah.
Yeah. So the best tip for puppy house training to me is a puppy crate. Do you have a crate for your puppy?
We do. We haven't been great about using it though. So you're encouraging me now to use
definitely.
It more. Yeah.
You see, puppies know instinctively not to go in the mm-hmm. den, and so if they recognise their crate as their den, which they usually do, then they won't go in it. However, if they're in a bigger room, like let's say a kitchen, well then they may well wander off the far end of the kitchen, think to themselves, well, I'm far enough out of the den now, I'll just go here.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what happens. So they have to be taught with treats and with praise that the place to go is outside.
Mm-hmm.
And that means, so what that means is, generally, is you keep them in their crate if you're not supervising them directly. And then when you take them out of their crate, you immediately go outside and wait and give them lots of praise when they go. But if you just have them wandering around the house on their own, then almost inevitably they are going to piddle somewhere because they just don't realise
mm-hmm.
that they're not outside, that they're still inside the den. They haven't yet been taught to make the connection that the entire house is their den.
Yeah, yeah.
They mustn't go in it.
Yeah, that's good advice. And what do you do on a day like today? This has been our challenge because it's winter and it's wet and it's cold outside. And if it's really wet, she just does not want to do her business outside. How do you encourage them to do their business on days like today?
Well, yes, see, that's winter time is more difficult to house train puppies for that reason. And first of all, you might consider using puppy pads for this particular purpose. So puppy pads are like, size of a broadsheet newspaper, sheets of kind of tissue paper with a plastic underlayer. And so if you put one of those on the ground near the door, perhaps your puppy will go on that, and if they fiddle on that, at least it's easy to clean up. And so people use puppy pads to train puppies, especially in bad weather, because then at least the puppy knows that it can go on those and it won't get into trouble. But other than that, it's just a case, I suppose, of trying to make them as sheltered as possible when you go outside. get a big umbrella, and you might even have a little coat for your dog put on them when they go outside so they feel more comfortable. And that's something else to think about. I suppose try and see it from their perspective. Just as we feel kind of lit, cold and blasted by the wind if we went outside with no protection, so does a puppy. So you have to pay attention to that.
Yeah. Awesome. Great tips, Pete. Thank you so much. Finally, I just want to ask you about exercise for puppies. How important is it? How much exercise do they need? Is it enough to bring them around the house and out into the back garden? Or when do you start giving them walks?
Well, I think really you have to listen to the puppy to some extent, and puppies tend to have very active play, really busy periods when they want to run around a lot, and then they get very tired and they just want to flop down. So they tend to sort of short bursts like that.
Mm-hmm.
But really by 4 months of age, you should be able to take them for a reasonable walk. I don't know, go out for 20 minutes or half an hour even. And you should also be training them at this stage, by the way. Early training is important. So you should be training your puppy to walk on the leash,
mm-hmm.
to walk on your leash nicely. The one reservation I'd have about dogs and exercise is that some breeds of dogs, like Labradors, German Shepherds, and some others, they're a little bit prone to getting arthritis of their elbows and hips. And what they found is that if those particular types of breeds are over-exercised when they're young, then they can have a higher incidence of arthritis.
Okay.
So for those breeds, you shouldn't over-exercise them until they're 18 months or 2 years of age,
okay.
until they're fully mature. When I say over-exercise, I mean like going for a walk over the hills for like 3 or 4 hours. You're not going to do the puppy anyway.
Yeah.
But as far as puppies are concerned, it's a case of listening to them. And whatever they feel like doing, then yes, you can do it with them.
Go for it.
Yeah, that's it.
I have one last question that came in here from a listener. They're asking, could I ask you for any recommendation of good breeders? How do you find a good breeder when you're looking for a puppy?
Well, this is probably the worst time ever to try and get a puppy.
Yeah.
Because everybody's gone into, they've gone into lockdown, they're staying at home, and they have all found, well, actually, I'm not at work all day, I can now have a dog. And so what's happened is there's been an absolutely massive demand and quite a low supply of puppies. So the price of puppies has completely rocketed. So a pedigree puppy that cost €400 a year ago will now cost €2,000.
Wow.
It's insane. And so it's a really, really bad time to get a puppy. And so anybody who's thinking about it, I'd really be saying to them, listen, I would hold off for 3 or 4 months, and hopefully as the summer comes around, more puppies will come on stream and it'll get easier. But in terms of how to look for one, my favourite place to go is a new website called Pet Bond, P-E-T-B-O-N-D. And petbond.ie is a website which has been set up by a vet specifically for the purposes of helping people source puppies ethically and from good backgrounds.
Excellent.
So they know the pups are going to be all right.
Excellent.
So go to petbond.ie and you'll get some good tips on getting puppies there.
Great advice. Thank you so much for coming on today and answering our questions and giving such great advice. And will you give the Pet Fix Club information just one more time if people just tuned in?
Yes, it's petfixclub.com. It's a new website I've set up, and it's about giving people good quality information. They can find out, you know, are they doing the right thing for their pet? And there's also an Ask a Vet facility there, so if you have any questions at all, so if any listeners want to send me a question, they can go there, they can sign up for free for a month. After that, €7 a month. But if they sign up, they can then send me as many questions as they want, and I will get back to them with a personal response.
So
everybody, feel free to do that.
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming on today and answering all of our questions. And such good advice. And we'll certainly be looking at Pet Fix Club for more information. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks very much.
Bye-bye. So that's Pete the Vet, and it's petfixclub.com.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.